sure the ushers get you one. If you didn't get a handout, just raise your hand real quick. They did a great job. Let's give the ushers a round of applause. Hey, amen. It's sure good to be here this morning. It's a blessing to be here. I've prayed for your preacher this morning. I hope you did as well. I pray that God would give him traveling mercies. I pray that God would use him where he's at this morning. And it's a privilege to stand behind his pulpit today. I even told him that this morning. He thanked me for being here, and I thanked him for trusting me with his pulpit and his people. And it truly is a privilege to stand behind this desk this morning. Your pastor's a friend of mine. And he's a good man. I hope you prayed for him today. I hope I'm not the only one that prayed for your preacher today. But if you have your Bible, I want you to open up to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I want to be a blessing to you today. I've prayed for you this morning. I was up early this morning reading the scriptures, just meditating on the things of God and what he'd have me speak about this morning. And I'm looking forward to the next hour. We have a table. Well, let me start first of all by introducing my wife to you. My name is Evangelist Tony Petronico. For those of you that do not know me, I've been here before, but my wife hasn't. So, Crystal, if you'll please stand. This is my wife. I like embarrassing her. She'll hit me later on. That'll be all right. And we're glad to be here. We do have a table out in the side over here in the main lobby. If you'll stop by there later on. Just a couple of things I'd like to mention. I'll talk more about it in the morning service. But y'all believe the King James Bible is still the Word of God around here, right? Amen. I believe it is too. Can you tell me why? And it's God's Word. You're right. I'm not trying to be mean when I ask you why. But listen, if you don't know why you believe that, one day somebody will move you off of that position. There's a lot of churches in our nation, a lot of churches right here in Adrian and the greater surrounding area that have taken Baptist off the name. They've taken the choir loft out, replaced it with drums and bands and praise and worship teams. And watch, I don't think they all hate God. They're sincere. They're sincerely wrong, but they're sincere. You say, what's wrong with them? They don't know why they believe what they believe. Brother Gipp, Brother Keller did a great job with this book. Not everybody in our pews are going to read a 400-page book on the King James Bible. We know that. Sometimes it's deep plowing. Sometimes it's very deep reading. But they did a great job with this book. It's called A Charted History of the Bible. And it lays it out. It lays out the Vaticanus Sinaiticus next to the Received Text or the Textus Receptus. By the way, there's only one Bible we get from the Received Text. One. It's the book you hold in your lap if it's a King James Bible. And they line it up, take it down through history from its origins. It's a book with pictures, amen. I'm a visual guy. I like books with pictures, amen. Say amen right there. And I'm just a visual guy. I like pictures. Less reading for me, the better. But they do a great job. 52 pages. You can get through it in one night, and you'll have a firm foundation on why you understand and believe the Word of God is the King James Bible. Number of things, some folks have asked me if I have our new CD with us from the church. We do. We've got a number of books out there. One other book I'd just like to mention real quick before we get into the lesson is every lady in this room, honestly, ought to take this book home with them today. I don't think I have enough books for every lady, but it's Dr. Jenkins' newest book. It's called An Excellent Spirit, Abundant Living for Today's Christian Woman. Ladies, you have no idea the power you have in our homes and our churches. You really don't. Now, bless God, I'm in control, preacher. Well, no, we're just going to give an account of this when we're all, we're the ones going to get in trouble. But listen, ladies, you have no idea how your spirit can affect and build a church or tear it down, build your home, tear it down. And it's a 9-chapter manual, how to guard your spirit, how to build your spirit, how to protect your home and build your children's spirits. It's a great book. It's out there as well. If you get nothing else, please get our prayer cards. Pray for us. I'll talk about a couple other books in the morning service. But 2 Timothy chapter number 3. You know it's our job to reach the lost? It really is. Guys, I'm gonna roam, and I'm going to turn this. Do I need to turn this one on, or is it already on? Need to turn it on. I am. Push and hold the red button. There we go. I knew that. It's our job to reach the lost. And oftentimes, we're encouraged by preachers and pastors. We're encouraged by Sunday school teachers. And our parents, young people, encourage us to get out and go soul winning and just go out there and reach the lost and do our best to get everything done. And sometimes, and that, by the way, we ought to do that. We ought to push to get the, Jesus said, compel them to come in. Go out into the highways and the byways and the hedges and compel them. He said, that my house may be full. So that's what we're supposed to do. But I think sometimes in the busyness of things, we don't tell people how to do it. In an Acts, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the beginning parts of chapter number 4, Paul's encouraging Timothy. Paul's giving Timothy some instruction, if you will, on how to go about his business in the work of God, in the house of God. You say, well, preacher, Timothy, he's a preacher. You're right, but we're all preachers. I lost some of you. We're all preachers. Amen. And by the way, your commission, you got a higher commission than a preacher can give you, or a pastor, or a man of God can give you. You got a commission by Jesus Christ to be a preacher. Well, I'm a lady. I didn't say you're a pastor, you're a preacher. Well, I'm a young person. I didn't say you're an evangelist, you're a preacher. You say, I don't get it. Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and what? You're a preacher. I don't care what your age, whether you're female or male, young, old, you're a preacher. I don't care if you're a senior saint or you're an 8-year-old saved young man or young lady, you're a preacher. I've been telling people I've been preaching a message all my life. I just changed my message about 13 years ago. And by the way, I'm not all about lifestyle evangelism, but there is something to lifestyle evangelism. People ought to know you're a Christian at work. Your neighbors ought to know you're a Christian. You say, how do you do that? Just live it out in front of them. Amen. Well, I've been preaching a message all my life. If you knew me 13, 14, 15 years ago, I wasn't preaching a pretty good message. When God got a hold of my life and changed my life and delivered me out of a $300 a day cocaine habit, I changed my message because God changed me. But in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, Paul's giving Timothy some instruction, and we can glean from this instruction. In our scripture, I'm going to fill in some blanks here, but we're going to read from 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. That's why you ought not get out of church, folks. Because you're admonished by the word of God to continue in the things which thou hast learned. Now watch this. And hast been assured of. How do you get assurance of what you're being taught? You take it home and study it out for yourself. If the Lord gives me permission, I'm going to preach a message on tonight, if he gives me permission and he allows me to continue to go the way I'm thinking. Receiving is believing. What you receive into your life is going to determine what you believe. That's why you need to be careful what you allow into your eye gate and your ear gate. But that's not the message this morning, but and has been assured of. So there's some things we're supposed to be assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child, and by the way, that's why you ought not just pick up a book and read it and just say, wow, that changes everything I believe. You have no idea. There is a movement in independent fundamental Baptist churches by some of our young people and some of our older people for that matter, and picking up some books written by some evangelicals and changing the entire way they think. You don't know who they are. You've not studied under them for years. The Bible admonishes us that we are to continue in the things which we have learned has been assured of, knowing of whom we have learned them from. Now look at verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Hey, you want to get somebody saved? Get them in the Bible. And by the way, that's why you need the right Bible. And by the way, there's only one Bible. There's only one Bible. You say, well, what are those other versions? They're just books. They're no different than this book. This book contains Bible verses. It has some word of God in it, but it's not the Bible. And that's why your King James Bible, you need to have that. Anyway, all scripture, by the way, verse number 16 is another proof verse of why we need the right Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration to God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It tells me that I ain't right, tells me how to get right, and tells me how to stay right. Amen. Verse 17, that the man of God or woman of God may be thoroughly furnished, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now listen, I love Bible reading calendars, but I hate Bible reading calendars. I have a Bible reading calendar. But this is why I hate Bible reading calendars, because your Bible reading calendar says, read through 2 Timothy chapter number 3 today. And so that's what we do. We put it down and we walk away, and maybe we'll pick up our Bible tomorrow and read it. Maybe we won't. But listen, the verses and chapters, they were put in there for you and I, for breaks and memorization purposes, so on and so forth. But listen, the thought didn't stop. You need to pick up chapter 4, almost immediately finishing chapter number 3, because Paul says this, I charge thee therefore. Why? Because of everything I just told you, Timothy. Because of everything I just instructed you about. Because of everything I just encouraged you to do. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said this in verse number 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're living in that day. You can't hardly get up anymore, preach sound doctrine, and preach on hard on sin in church anymore and not get people offended at you. It's silly to get offended at the preacher. Can I just put it on the bottom shelf? I may say something today. I'm not here. I don't want to offend you. Let me give you my heart. I know my job. The office of an evangelist, I'm to be a gift to the church. I've never received a gift that ever hurt me. I'm not here to hurt you today. I'm here to help you. Pastor Rogers doesn't need more problems when I leave here today. He needs me to help him solve some problems. Amen. But it's silly to get mad at the preacher. If he's preaching the word of God, and thus saith the Lord, who are you really mad at? You're mad at God. Anyway, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. How many know somebody used to be in a church just like this, maybe even this church, but you can't find them with the FBI's help anymore? We all do. You say, why is that, preacher? Well, let me tell you, the same thing will happen to you and I if we're not careful, if we don't adhere or let verse 4 admonish us. The Bible says, for they shall turn their, and they shall turn their ears, listen now, from the truth. What's the truth? Talk to me, church. What's the truth? God's word, the Bible. Thy word is truth, O Lord. Sanctify them through thy truth. John 17, thy word is truth. So the Bible is the truth. They shall turn their ears from the truth. Now watch, and shall be turned unto fables. You know why you ought not leave a church that preaches the word of God and stands strong in the word of God and will preach on your sin and your kid's sin, amen, and my sin, and will rebuke us when we need rebuking, and will exhort us when we need exhorting, amen, and will love us when we need loved. Because when you and I make a conscious decision to turn our ears from truth, talk to the hand, God, I'm no longer listening. God says, we shall be. Mark it down. Not maybe, not possibly, but shall be turned unto fables. By the way, that's why you ought to be in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You say, why? Because truth is going forth from that pulpit. And when you and I decide not to come to church on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, or a Wednesday night, we're turning our ears from truth. We're making a conscious decision not to come hear truth, but have something else take up our time. Amen. Now, by the way, that's why when there's revival, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday through Friday, or whatever it is, or missions conference, you ought to be here every day. I need to be here every day. Absolutely. Why? Because when you're not, you're turning your ears from truth. You're making a conscious decision not to come hear truth as it's being taught. You say, well, does that mean I got to go to every other church's function? No, I'm talking about your church. You're a member of this church. And whatever truth is going forth from here, you ought to be here. Well, what better place is there to be? Because listen, Hollywood is not truth. Can I just put that on the bottom shelf there? Hollywood has an agenda. The Bible says this. I might get to my message, I might not. We might get to the handout, I might not. The Bible says this. There's many voices in the world today. Listen now, many. Would you agree with that? If you agree there's many voices in the world, raise your hand. The Bible says, and none of them, watch, not one of them is without significance. That means Hollywood's voice is powerful and has a purpose. Listen, that means country music's voice, young people, has power and persuasion. Not one of them is without significance. Shall turn your ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Look at verse number 5. But watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Here's a good exercise. Look to the person next to you. Look at him. And say you're ugly. Don't do that. Say, I'm sure glad I don't look like you. No, don't do that either. Look at the person next to you and repeat after me. One day, everybody's got to participate. One day, you will offend me. Endure affliction, church. Hey, listen, if Jesus said endure it, guess what's going to happen? It's going to come. He's not going to tell us to endure something that's never going to come. Who do we spend most of our time around? Watch this. We're not supposed to be ignorant of the devil's devices. Watch. Who do we spend most of our time around? Church members, saved people, or our family is where we spend most of our time around. Well, statistically speaking, then, who is it going to be that offends us most of the time? Thank you. Honesty, I like it. But listen, that's true. And we get twisted sideways and quit on God sometimes over that stuff. And Jesus says, listen, endure affliction. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. That doesn't mean go preach in a different church every week. Like I said, the purest definition I can find, Bible, biblical definition of an evangelist, is a gift to the church. Be a blessing to your church, not a burden. I didn't say don't have your problems helped at church. Everybody's got problems. We all need the church to help us in that regard. Make full proof of thy ministry. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for the Sunday school hour. God, I pray that you help me, Lord. Spend a lot of time, Lord, going through the verses and stopping a little bit here and there where you just had me do that. I pray, God, you'd help me. God, I am not worthy to stand before these people, but God, I pray that you help me now, Lord. I submit this vessel to you. Would you fill it? Would you use it? Help me to be a blessing to these, your people. It is sure good to be in the house of God today. When we leave today, would we be able to say it was good to be in the house of God today? May we receive something, Lord, that'll help us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Basically, what I believe Paul is encouraging Timothy in that first blank here this morning is, Timothy, keep on keeping on. And listen, Berean Baptist Church, sometimes you just need to be encouraged to keep on keeping on. And listen, that's why you ought to encourage one another. That's why we ought to exhort one another. We're supposed to encourage one another. We're supposed to exhort one another unto good works. And you ought to keep on keeping on. Show everybody that God's working in you has not been in vain. You know, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And by the way, by the grace of God, I am who I am, and you are who you are. Thank God for God's grace. Amen. He said, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, watch this, was not in vain. That's challenging, Brother Cook. I think this was, if Paul was standing here, I think this is what he would say to you. It motivates me. God's grace motivates me. I don't want it to be vain in my life. I don't want to get to heaven and have the Lord look at me on that judgment day at the bema seat of Christ and look at me and say, big fat goose egg, buddy, because everything you did, it was without me. Everything you did was for yourself. I saved you, put you in a pew, put you in a good church. I gave you my power. I filled you with my Holy Ghost, but you did nothing with it. I don't want to get to heaven and have that be my testimony. That challenges me. Has God wasted his grace on you? Have you been saved 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? And there's not a thing you're doing in his church? Listen, if you're saved this morning, I'm getting ahead of myself. But if you're saved this morning, God has something for you to do. I don't care if you're 5 or 95 or somewhere in between. If you are saved this morning, God has a plan for your life. And he has a ministry for you to serve him in. He didn't save us to sit. He saved us to serve. But Paul not only tells, and this is what I like about Paul in this portion of Scripture. He not only tells Timothy what to do, that next blank under there, he tells him how to do it. And that's what I want to focus on for the next few moments, for the next 15 or 20 minutes. I think we're done here at 20 after, Brother Cook. Is that it? Or 15, quarter after? 20? Okay. For the next few moments, I just want to share with you a couple of thoughts on how do I accomplish that. The title of the lesson is The How-To's of Ministry, Reaching America, but reaching Adrian, reaching the surrounding communities, reaching your neighbors, reaching your lost loved ones, reaching your friends. How do we do that? Well, first of all, if we're going to reach them, we have to have the proper aim of ministry. Roman numeral number one is the proper aim of ministry. And really, it's not rocket science. It really isn't. To have a proper aim or proper focus on ministry, letter A, you have to have an emphasis on God's word. You know, a lot of people have a lot of emphasis in their life. They focus on a lot of things. They're doing a lot of things. Can I just share this with you, church? Everything I wanted to get done yesterday, I got done. Everything I put a priority on in my life yesterday, watch this, got done. And by the way, that's true for you too. Everything that was important to you, everything you wanted to accomplish yesterday, it doesn't matter if you're 5, 95, somewhere in between. Everything that was important to you and I yesterday, folks, we got done. We were all given 24 hours yesterday. And what we filled those 24 hours with is what we told God was important to us. Now, if God wasn't a part of that, we just told him he wasn't important. Or if we told him, just for 15 minutes out of 24 hours, he was important, we told him that's where you fit into my schedule of things. Well, no, preacher, you don't understand. I meant to do this. We don't understand. Good intentions are just that, good intentions. And I'm preaching to myself here. But everything we did yesterday was a priority in our life. Everything we put a priority on yesterday got done. Was God's word a part of that yesterday? Listen, if it wasn't, you don't have the proper focus. Amen. If it wasn't true in my life yesterday, I don't have the proper focus or the proper aim. Listen, is that next blank underneath there? It's how we know God. Brother Chase, let me ask you a question. Have you seen Jesus Christ in his resurrected physical body today? I am sure glad he said no. If he said yes, run! Yeah. Folks, listen to me very carefully. The only Jesus you and I have is between the pages of this book. Amen. And by the way, it's enough. Amen. You say, is that all that the Bible says? If all the books of the earth contained everything he did, all the books of the earth couldn't hold it. But this is everything God wants us to know. Was it important to you yesterday? Was it important to you this morning? I was up at 6:15 this morning. I think it was 6:15. Reading my Bible. You say, why? Because I needed something. It's how we know God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hey, John 5:39, Jesus said this, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. He said, but they are which testifieth of me. An emphasis on the Word of God. Hey, listen, it's how we know God. The next blank underneath there is how God speaks to us. When's the last time God spoke to you? I mean, God spoke to you. Not getting instruction from a preacher, although that's good. Not getting instruction from your parents, young people. But God spoke to you. You say, I can get something from God? Absolutely. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got something from God, because whatever they had, and it was good, they stood up to the king and said, hey, listen, our God is able, but if he does not deliver us, we still will not bow. You say, where did they get that? Being in the Word of God. This book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that kind of stuff. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It's how God speaks to us. Psalm 119:105. Hey, how do I know what God wants for my life, preacher? What does God want me to do today? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? How do I get right with God? The word of God. By taking heed thereto. Hey, Romans 10:17, preacher, I just don't know if I have enough faith to believe that. Careful, you're telling on yourself. You say, what do you mean, preacher? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, little faith, little word of God. And I'm not being mean when I say that. That's God's word.
You say, how do these guys, how do these men in the past, how do some people even in this church attempt and do great things for God? They seem to have such great faith. They're in the Word of God. They're in the Word. There's no other way to explain it. Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. But you can't do it outside of the Word of God. It's how God speaks to us. I've got to hurry. Let me illustrate what I mean by this. Let me give you the next blank underneath there, underneath Romans 10, 17. Too many Christians trifle with the Word of God. That's the truth. Do you realize, church, listen, if we spent as much time in the Word of God as we do watching television, revival would sweep across our nation. Hey, young people, listen to me very carefully. I'm not against Facebook. I'm not against social media. I think God is pleased that we can Skype missionaries halfway across the world and encourage them. I don't think God's against all the things we have available to us today. But if we're spending more time on that than we are in His Word, I think God's against it. I think if we spend as much time in God's Word, young people, as we do on Facebook, revival would sweep across your youth group. I believe that with all my heart. We spend so much time wasting time. We're not necessarily wicked, but we are wanting. We have young people with no power. We have people in our churches with no power. You say, what's going on in our nation? There's a bunch of God's kids that just don't have power. And we need to get that power back. You say, how do you get that? Get in the Word of God. If you're going to know God, that next blank underneath there, if you're going to know God and if you're going to have a ministry, God's Word must be central. By the way, if you're going to have a good marriage, if you're going to be a good young person, if you're going to be a good husband, if you're going to be a good wife, if you're going to be a good church member, if you're going to be a good deacon, you're going to be a good citizen, God, you're going to be a good employee, you're going to be a good employer, God's Word got to be central. Letter B, exercising good works. I don't have time to turn to all the scriptures, but study these two verses out later on when you get home. But listen, God has a plan for your life. Church, listen to me very carefully. Jeremiah 29:11, watch. I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. I know God thinks evil thoughts towards me. No. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. Watch, to give you an expected end. God's got nothing but good thoughts towards his children, pleasant thoughts towards his children. Why? Because he has an expected end for you today. Do you realize it's not a mistake I'm here this morning? And by the way, it's not a mistake that you're here this morning. In eternity past, God saw this day. He has an expected end for this day in your life, as well as my life. He's got a plan for your life. It's your job and my job to get alone with him and figure out what that plan is. God is, listen to me, God is not up in heaven saying, ooh, I hope they figure this out. I really believe a lot of Christians believe that, though. That somehow, some way, God has a plan, but he's hid it from them, and he's such a mean God, and he'll never let me know, and that's not true. If we just get in the Word of God, he'll direct our paths. Hey, watch this. The servant that was looking for a wife for Isaac, I believe it was Isaac, he said, I being the way, the Lord what? Led me. You say, what's the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. Aim, focus. Preacher's not here, so you can't get in trouble. Although Brother Chase is sitting halfway back so he could see the front half, so keep that in mind. How many ever saw Alice in Wonderland? Not the new one, the old one. If you saw the new one, you need to repent because Johnny Depp's a freak. He needs to get saved, but he hates God. He's a God hater. But the old one, Alice in Wonderland, Disney. Okay, good. You'll understand this illustration then. She falls in a hole and falls into this place called Wonderland. And all she wants to do is get home. But Chase, all I want to do is get home. Hey, this world is not my home. By the way, if you're saved, it's not yours either. We're just passing through. Listen, our home is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And if you'd get that mindset, it'd help a bunch of us, and me included sometimes. But all she wants to do is get home. So she jumps on that road, and she starts down the road, and it's not long down the road. She's got a choice to make. There's a fork in the road. And how many decisions have we made already today? And at that fork in the road, she comes to that fork in the road. She's got to make a decision. She looks up at this Cheshire cat. And he looks down at her, and she looks up at him, and he looks down at her. And finally he says, "Can I help you?" And she says, "Well, which way do I go?" By the way, it's a good question. Did you ask the Lord which way you should go this morning? But she said, "Which way should I go?" He looks down at her and he says, "Well, which way, where are you going?" And by the way, that's a good question too, Christian. Where are you going? Where are you going? What is your aim? What is your focus? What are your plans? Are they his plans or your plans? He said, "Well, where are you going?" She looked back up at him. She said, "You know, I really don't know." And this is what he said. It was a cartoon, but it was profound. He said, "If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there." And that's most Christians. They get up in the morning and they jump on the road of life. They don't even spend 5 minutes in the Word of God to get direction from God for their day with God and with the world and all the things that the devil wants to throw at them today. And they get on that road and they make this decision and they make that decision and they make this decision. And by the end of the day, it's just a mess. And they're like, "How did I get here?" Because you left God way back there. No aim, no focus. The aim of the ministry, emphasis on Word of God. Letter B, or number two. To have the proper aim, listen, you must have determination. Listen, the devil does not want you reading the Word of God. Just mark it down. But get some grit about you. It's amazing. We'll push through. We'll press on. We'll go forward. We'll go to work sick. We'll go out and have a good time sick. We'll do all these other things and make sure we get them done. But when it comes to our devotions and time in God's Word, it's like, oh, okay. Get some determination about you. Flip it over. Roman rule number two. Not just the aim of God, I've got to hurry. Boy, I got to hurry. The accountability of the ministry. You know, if we thought for just a second in our day that this thing was going to end in a judgment, I think it changed a lot of the things we do throughout the day. Amen. If we would just simply remember that thought, at the end of all this thing, we're going to be judged. But before we all must appear, the Bible says, before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Watch that everyone, listen now, everyone. Your wife won't be there, sir. Your husband won't be there, ma'am. Teenager, your mom and dad won't be there. Everyone receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The first flag, you don't get what you expect in life, you get what you inspect. You don't get what you expect, you get what you inspect. You say, "What do you mean by that, Brother Petronico?" You do a better job when you're being watched. Let me illustrate. If your boss is standing over your shoulder at the office, you're not texting on your cell phone. Amen. We just do a better job when we're being watched. Christian, can I remind you, you're being watched. Sir, God has seen every internet site you've ever been to. He's looked at every magazine, every picture, everything you've ever, every place these feet have ever taken you, every place these eyes have ever looked, and everything these ears have ever heard, God's been there with you. Teenager, God's been in every text message you've sent. Amen. Every television show you've watched. Isn't it a shame? Watch, isn't it a shame what we force God to watch? Think about that. The Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of you if you're saved. The Bible says he is in you, and he'll be there forever. What do you force him to watch? What do you force him to listen to? You force him to listen, hear his name in vain, all the cuss words. We have gotten so accustomed to cuss words, it don't even bother. There could be four or five in a show, and it doesn't even bother us anymore. Let alone somebody taking his name in vain. What do we force him to partake in our lives? One day we will stand before God, that next flag there, and give an account for our lives. I want to get through this because I want to focus on the next one. Go back and study this. I'm just going to fill these blanks in for you to get to Roman number 3. Church, listen, the very next event on the church's calendar is the rapture. Watch now. There's not one thing biblically, prophetically speaking, that has to happen before Christ's return. You realize they already have a superhighway built from China down to Israel? 6-lane highway, one way. Check it out. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's all in place. Israel has all the new items for the temple. They've got the ephod, they got the table of showbread, they got it all. The rapture, then the judgment. You won't answer, if you're saved, you will not answer for salvation here, but you will answer for what you did with it. And so will I. Letter A, the understanding of an important concept. Listen, it is appointed unto men once to die. Letter A is the understanding of an important concept. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this to judgment. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life but a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. Listen, the understanding of an important concept, that next blank, we all, every one of us, have an appointment with Christ. That's pretty sobering. Letter B, the urgency of an imminent coming. The urgency of an imminent coming. Jesus said this, I must work the works. This is, if the Lord Jesus said this, good Lord have mercy, what ought we ought to say? Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And we're doing nothing for the cause of Christ. We're running out of time, folks. You know the biggest tool and weapon in the devil's toolbox and his bag of tricks? It's not adultery, men. It's not pornography, young man. It's not, these wicked, ungodly sins, although those sins are wicked and ungodly. That's not his biggest tool. You know what his biggest tool, I believe, in his pouch is? We could do that tomorrow. I'll start reading my Bible tomorrow. Oh, I'll go on soul winning next week. And it's always tomorrow. Tomorrow. We're running out of time. What are we doing now? To have proper accountability, one must be disciplined. Oh, would to God, God's people would get disciplined again. We are disciplined about a lot of things, except when it comes to spiritual things. Letter 3, Roman number 3. Not just the aim of the ministry or the accountability of the ministry, but I want to focus here for a couple minutes, if I could just take a couple extra minutes, on the approach of the ministry. Instructions, watch this, on what to do. You know, church, when we look at a sentence, here's a neat thing. I hated English when I was growing up. How many of you hate English? Dangling participles, linking verbs, I mean, all of it. They can keep it. Here's the problem with that. I'm a preacher. I'm not supposed to preach this book. I'm supposed to teach this book. You would be surprised, beloved, listen to me, what you would learn from the Word of God if you understand and apply the laws of English to this book. I'm talking about commas and semicolons, and I preached a message here three years ago on being clean, and it was all about a colon, two dots, a jot and a tittle, but it unlocked the key to revival in your personal life. So we're not just supposed to be preachers, teachers of this book. In the English language, when we look, instructions on what to do, that first flag. When we look at a sentence, to basic diagram a sentence, we want to find the subject and the verb. Well, let's look back at our text here. In our text, in verse number 2, we have all these verbs. Preach the word. Be instant. Be instant in season. Be instant out of season. We get this verb reprove. We get this verb rebuke. And by the way, we've gotten good at that. But you want to make a difference in somebody's life? Do the third part of that verse. And exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I stand before you today, a preacher, because that lady right there, instead of just reproving and rebuking me all the time, she exhorted me. Instead of hitting me over the head with a 2x4, she prayed for me. And God, through all that, got a hold of my heart and was able to deliver me out of a $300-a-day cocaine habit. But if we got all these verbs, reprove, rebuke, preach, be instant, in the English language, watch this, that next blank under there, when there is no apparent subject in the English language in the sentence, the subject, anybody has understood who? You. Now, watch. Read the verse. You preach the word. You be in sin in season. You be in sin out of season. You reprove. You rebuke. You exhort with all long-suffering. What? Long-suffering doctrine. Watch now. You make full proof of your ministry. Do you have a ministry to make full proof of? Brother Chase, I've found it's hard to make full proof of something I don't have, but I've just been commanded by Almighty God to make full proof of a ministry. You say, well, he's talking to Stephen. Yeah, Paul in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit was talking to Stephen, but he knew the rules of the English language before the English language was invented. And the way the sentences and the verses are structured, God is talking to whoever's reading the Word of God right there. I wonder if that's why we don't read the Word of God so much. Because it applies personally. God's telling you and I to preach the word. God's telling you and I to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort. God's telling you and I do the work of evangelists, endure affliction, make full proof of our ministry. See how it changes everything? God expects us to. Letter A. But unfortunately, in order to do that, you have to have a personal, watch, a personal commitment to faithfulness. Here's a question, church. It's convicting. Listen, it's convicting. But it'll help you. If everyone in church were just like you, what kind of church would it be? Think about that. If everyone in church were just like me, what kind of church would it be? Would there be money in the offering plate? Would there be tithers? Would there be missions givers? Would there be altar workers? Would there be choir members? Would there be Sunday school teachers? If everybody in church were just like us, what kind of church would we be attending? God help us. God help us to get something this morning that'll help us in the work of God. Letter B, just not a personal commitment to faithfulness, but there's a poisonous characteristic of fickleness running throughout our churches today. I said it earlier. People get so easily offended. They're not enduring sound doctrine, and I don't understand that. I would rather be no other place this morning than right where I'm at. Amen. In the house of God. Amen. Getting preached at by the Word of God. You say, well, no, you're the one preaching. You don't have any idea. Preachers, listen, oftentimes we're the ones repenting the most at the altar after the messages. I mean, that's just the way it is. Any of you ever taught or preached, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But there's such a poisonous characteristic of fickleness today. Even in some things I've already said this morning about you having a ministry, not sitting in a pew doing nothing, that just rubbed you the wrong way. You know why? There's such a poisonous character. It's the world is creeping into the church, and we're not checking it at the door. Listen, I gotta finish. Paul said that there's coming a time when they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that's why, listen, Jesus, hey, he warned us. He said there's going to be a falling away. I understand that. And that's why they're running by the droves. Listen to me, they're running by the droves. First of all, they don't know why they believe what they believe, but they're running by the droves to the evangelical movement. I don't understand that because even those in charge of the evangelical movement, Bill Hybels himself said our model does not work. He said, you got to preach on sin. He said, we see them come in, but they never change. Go figure. It's the Word of God, amen? It's the Word of God. To have proper aim, listen, to have proper approach, one must have dedication in their life. Let's pray.